Father, we give you praise, Lord, as we've just been singing these wonderful truths that you teach us in your word. Our sins are many, but your mercy is more. Where our sin abounds, your grace abounds all the more. And we give you praise for that, Lord. Father, help us now as we come to your word. Open our eyes, O Lord, so that we might see wonderful things from your word. Open our ears. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. And use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to transform our hearts, to cut away everything that's dark and dead, and to grow in us light and life for your glory. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hello again. If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, we're going to begin reading in verse 4. We're going to consider through verse 21, but we're just going to read to verse 15 to get us started today. If you don't have a Bible, I want to draw your attention to the one that should be under the seats, one of the seats there in front of you. If you want to grab one of those Bibles and find Luke chapter 8. If you need to use the table of contents, not a thing in the world wrong with that. But find Luke chapter 8 in your Bible. Well, I don't hear as well as I once did, especially in this right ear here. Now, it's not as bad as some, but I can tell that I don't hear the way that I used to. I think I have shot too many shotguns and too many rifles without hearing protection. I spent a little too much time in my younger years in front of really large, loud guitar amps, and I play my music entirely too loud, don't I, kids? Play my music too loud, yes. They tell me that all the time. So I can tell, I'm beginning to tell, that I don't hear as well out of this right ear as I used to. And so it has made for some funny and even frustrating moments in the Compton House, because we all know how important physical hearing is. If you don't hear well, you can't respond properly, or you won't respond properly, or you'll respond improperly. If you can't hear well, you won't know what's going on, and you won't know what you're supposed to do. Well, Jesus, if you've been walking with us through the Gospel of Luke, you know that Jesus says a lot about hearing. In fact, in chapter 6, he says that we ought to hear the word of God and do it. If you want to follow Jesus, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say?" And so he talks about what it means to hear. In order to come to Jesus, you got to hear what he says and follow him. Now, this hearing that Jesus is talking about, it happens through our physical hearing, but it's really spiritual hearing. I mean, we hear the teaching, we hear the gospel, we hear things physically. But there's a spiritual hearing that Jesus tells us about, where the Spirit opens up our eyes and our ears and our hearts and we understand. You might hear something physically through your ears, but you don't hear it spiritually. It doesn't land in your heart. And Jesus urges us to hear truly and to hear spiritually. And that's what this portion of Luke chapter 8 is all about. It's about hearing. We're all going to join together today and do a spiritual hearing test, okay? A big chunk of this passage is probably one that you are familiar with if you know your Bibles. We often call it the parable of the sower and the seeds. And you've probably heard that sermon, probably heard really good sermons on that passage, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But today, I wanted to back out a little bit today and notice the larger theme, which is the theme of hearing. In fact, if you look at verse 18 in chapter 8, Jesus urges us to take care then how you hear. Take care how you hear. And I think that's the driving force of this big passage of Scripture. So let's read this together. And what I want you to do, if you're the kind of person that marks in your Bible or highlights in your Bible, I want you to mark every time you see the word hear or hearing or heard. And you'll notice that it's a common repeated theme throughout this passage. Well, Luke chapter 8, verse 4, I would ask again if you are physically able, if you will stand with me as we read from the Bible. This is God's word, and we stand and honor the word of God as we read from it. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. Luke writes to us here under the inspiration of the Spirit. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Here's what I want us to think about today from this passage. Jesus says, pay attention to your spiritual hearing. Spiritual hearing yields belief and fruit. I'm going to say that again. Pay attention to your spiritual hearing. Spiritual hearing yields belief and fruit. And as we walk through these verses together, we're going to make four stops along the way, okay? So first of all, let's think about this. Jesus says, recognize true spiritual hearing. Recognize true spiritual hearing. Now, if you remember from last week, chapter 8, verse 1, Jesus is proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom to all these towns. And the Bible says here in verse 4 of chapter 8 that a great crowd has gathered around him. There are people from everywhere, town after town, that are coming to hear Jesus and to hear what he has to say and to watch him do his ministry. And in the middle of this, Jesus tells a story, a parable. Jesus was really good at illustrations. And so he told parables that kind of illustrated the points that he wanted to make. Now, I think if you read the Bible carefully, you'll see that Jesus at times, a lot of times, was kind of a confusing person to be around. You didn't really always know what he was talking about. And he would just kind of throw things out there and then walk away and not say anything else. And that's what happens here. Jesus says, hey, y'all, I want to tell you a story. There's a farmer. The farmer's sowing a bunch of seed. And the birds ate some of it, didn't grow. Some of it fell in the rocks. It didn't really have root, it withered, didn't grow, didn't bear fruit. Some of it fell in the thorns choked it out, it didn't bear fruit. Some of it fell on some good soil, though. It grew, got big, it bore a lot of fruit. If you get it, you get it. And then he kind of walked away. If you get it, you get it. He says, if you hear it, you hear it. And so, thankfully, the disciples pulled Jesus aside when they had a chance and said, hey, can you help us out, bro? Can you tell us what this means? Can you give us the meaning of the parable? And, of course, Luke has recorded that for us. And not only Luke, but it's also recorded in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark. Now, these verses that we read, the first 15 verses here, 8 to 15, do you notice the theme of hearing in Jesus' explanation? He brings it up often. He says the seed is the word of God. That's the gospel message. It's Jesus' good news. And we sow that message. God ultimately sows it, but he sows it through people who tell the gospel and share the gospel with others. And he says some of the seed, the first seeds that are mentioned, are those who hear the message, but Satan snatches it away like a bird. There, verse 11. Verse 12, the devil comes and takes it away from their hearts In other words, they don't really hear it. They don't really get it. It goes in one ear and out the other, and it misses the heart. And they really have no chance to believe and be saved. That's what Jesus says. The second seeds are those who hear the message, and they receive it with joy, he says in verse 13. In other words, it looks like they believe it. But they don't have true and lasting belief because testing comes, and when testing comes, they fall away. They turn away from Jesus and go in an opposite direction. So they don't really bear fruit. They have no root, and so they wither and don't bear fruit. The third seed that he mentions are those who hear the message. It probably looks like they believe also, it looks like they believe it, but the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life get in the way, and it chokes their faith. That becomes more important. And they don't bear fruit either. They don't really bear mature fruit, is what he says here. And really, their belief is not a true and lasting belief either. And then the fourth seeds that he mentions are those who hear, and they truly believe. They hold the good news tightly. They're in verse 15. They hold it with an honest heart. They hold on to Jesus tightly. They have patience, he says. They hold on to it with an honest and good heart. They bear fruit with patience. They have endurance. They have a good heart that has been transformed. I think that's how we ought to see it. It's a transformed, a new heart that they are given, and they bear fruit. In fact, they bear a lot of fruit. Verse 8, they bear a hundredfold worth of fruit. Now, Jesus' point is this, and I want you to write this down if you're the kind of person that takes notes. Spiritual hearing bears spiritual fruit. And in between hearing and fruit is a true and lasting belief. Spiritual hearing bears spiritual fruit. And in between that fruit, that hearing and the fruit, is a true and lasting belief. Most folks kind of hear. That's what Jesus is saying. There's a huge chunk of people that kind of hear. Some kind of hear more, and some kind of hear less. Some of them somewhat look like Christians, or they look like Christians for a little while, but they fall away, or they don't really bear true fruit. They love the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life more than they do Jesus. Their faith is only talk, as James says in the book of James, faith without works. Now, we've talked about this a bunch of times. It's worth it to say it again. The works are not what saves a person. We saw that in our testimonies. It's not the works that saves a person, but the works reveal what's really going on the inside. The works are the spiritual fruit. And remember, the fruit reveals the root. Do you have root or do you not have root? Is your root in Jesus or is it in yourself, your sin, or something else? The fourth seed, the good soil, these are the only ones, according to Jesus, that are truly Christians. They really hear. They have true and lasting faith. They bear true spiritual fruit. So I want you to pause and think about this. I want you to think carefully about this today. How is your hearing? Think about your fruit. Think about your belief. Think about it now. There are some who hear, but the rest are hindered in hearing by barriers. And we must recognize the barriers to healing. So that's the next stop we're going to make. Secondly, not only recognize the fruit, but recognize the hearing barriers. Recognize the hearing barriers. Now, there's a list of barriers, chapter 8, verses 9 to 15. He gives these barriers. Now, notice the first one. The first barrier mentioned is actually the sovereign work of God. Look at verse 9 and 10. Says, when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. So God, in his sovereign plan, according to the purpose of his will, does not reveal the secrets of the kingdom to everyone. Some of them see, but they don't really see. Some of them hear, but they don't ever really understand. And Jesus says that he's using parables to keep the secrets hidden from some. And you might recognize that he's actually quoting from Isaiah 6. That little phrase, seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand, is from Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. If you want to go and read that later for your homework. Now, I think it's clear that Jesus was mostly talking about those Jewish leaders that heard his message from him on the earth. God is judging those people by keeping the kingdom secrets hidden from them. And this, of course, is a fulfillment of prophecy, like you see in Isaiah 6 and many other places. The reason why I think that is because if you notice, the meaning of this parable and the meaning of several other parables is actually given to us by the Holy Spirit in this Bible. In the New Testament that was recorded for us, God's actually revealing these secrets to us. They've been recorded and now they can be broadcasted over all the earth. When we preach the Bible and teach this, nobody ever teaches the parable of the sower and the seeds without also teaching the explanation. So we can see these connections because Jesus, through the gracious work of the Spirit by the authors of Scripture like Luke, unpacks these kingdom secrets for us. And still though, the gracious work of the sovereign God always comes first. It must come first. And it's important for us to affirm this and submit to it. You cannot truly hear spiritually and hold fast to the secrets of the kingdom without the gracious work of God in your life. He's the one who gives us ears to hear what the Spirit says. He is the one that opens up the secrets of the kingdom to us through the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit. God is the one who makes our soil good. We can have a good and an honest heart because we've been told in the Scriptures that our heart is bad and sinful. We need a new heart, a heart transformation. We need to be born again and become new creatures. He gives us this good heart and makes our soil into good soil. We love God because he first loved us. We saw that last week. We hear because he opens our ears and our hearts. Now, even though all this is true, and I think it's important for us to always acknowledge the gracious, sovereign work of God, we need God to do a powerful work in our lives, always. Even though we know the gracious work of God must come first, if you notice and read this passage carefully, you see that Jesus teaches these barriers to us as if they are a part of the ordinary ins and outs of life, everyday life. And he teaches us this way because that's exactly how it is. We can acknowledge what God is doing in sovereign ways and gracious ways, and yet Jesus is still saying, hear. It's your responsibility. I'm laying this upon you to hear and to do and to believe. He is pressing us and urging us to listen. And there is a true responsibility laid upon us to do so. And there's accountability, judgment that comes for those who don't hear, as we'll see in just a moment. Now, with that, you notice the next barrier that's mentioned is actually the snatching work of Satan. Saw this a second ago. Satan and the forces of evil work to keep the word away from sinners. So the word is proclaimed and Satan is snatching it away to keep people from believing. Well, since this is true, what should we do, brothers and sisters? We must broadcast and sow the word everywhere. We must consistently sow the word and spread the gospel. The more that we sow the gospel and preach and share the good news, the less chance it has to be snatched up. I remember a book that I read many years ago. It's called Sharing Jesus Without Fear. I think it's still around. And the author of that book had a statistic in there that has probably needs to be updated. This has been 20 years ago or so, more. But he says in that book that for every person who believes, on average, the gospel was shared with them seven times. So it takes seven gospel presentations, seven times to hear the good news in order for a person to believe on average. Maybe that's gone up. Maybe it's about the same. So the point is, since we know what Satan is always doing, we are always sharing the gospel. We want to be burdened about sinners. That's why we want to think about our scattered church stuff that we've talked about over the last couple of years. Praying for folks who need Jesus and giving them the gospel, having spiritual conversations. The third barrier that he mentions here is a time of testing. A time of testing. This testing that is mentioned here in verse 13 are things like suffering, sickness, trials, troubles, temptations, pressures, even persecution. The testing of life comes, and when you are tested, you determine that Jesus is not really worth it. Even though once you said that Jesus was worth it, and you said that Jesus was good and wise, but really, man, I don't know if he is. And you feel like life would be better off the old way without Jesus. So you fall away. You turn away. And in reality, that fruit was never truly there. You withered. What should we do since Jesus says this? Well, friends, let's ask God to give us faithfulness and endurance and patience. Would you pray and ask the Lord to do that in your life? And if you're tempted to fall away and tempted to turn away from Jesus, don't do it. Plead with God to work in your life and keep you close. The Bible says that faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. So we pray that God would bear that fruit. The fourth barrier that he mentions are the cares and the riches and pleasures of life, there in verse 14. Now, in my view, this is probably the one that we see the most. People believe in Jesus, but are choked out by the cares and the riches and pleasures of life. This would be the kind of person that would say, you know what, I really like Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Yeah, of course I believe in Jesus. And I talk about him some. I actually go to church a whole lot. I mean, maybe not as much as I could, but I go to church a whole lot. But in reality, this person never puts Jesus first. The things of life, the care things of life, always come first. And deep down, if you're honest with yourself and honest with God, you know that you are serving those things and you're not really serving Jesus. You're putting those things first. You organize your life to please the care things, and you put Jesus in a corner with the leftovers. Well, what should we do, friends? Let's ask Jesus. Ask Jesus to help you always put him first and to recognize when you're not putting him first. Pleading with Jesus regularly, Lord, help me see what's first in my life. And if it's not you, let me put you first. Help me to put you first. Now, I want you to look again at the text and don't miss the fruit. Do you see the fruit? All the barriers are keeping a sinner from truly hearing and bearing true and lasting and mature fruit. The seed that's snatched, of course, doesn't. The seed that withers doesn't. And the seed that's choked out, none of those bear mature and lasting fruit. So again, I stop and say this. Think about this right now. Today is the day for you to think about this. Do you have true, mature fruit? Do a spiritual hearing check. How is your hearing today? If you don't check it now, one day your hearing will be checked for you. And on that day, it will be too late. And that's where Jesus goes next. So thirdly, Jesus says, recognize the hearing, recognize the barriers. And thirdly, he says, remember the future uncovering. Remember the future uncovering. Look there with me in verse 16. I'm going to read 16, 17, and 18. Chapter 8, verse 16, Jesus says, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to the light. Take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Now, if you know your Bible, you'll know that this verse sounds a lot like Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, which is in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." It's where we get the song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let you." Want to sing together? Okay, no, not today. All right. Hide it under a bushel? No. Blow it out? No. Okay. Now, it sounds similar, but Jesus is making a different point. Jesus says here, one day I am going to come and shine a revealing light, and that light will uncover and expose everyone's hearing and everyone's faith or lack thereof and everyone's fruit or lack thereof. Jesus is clearly talking about the coming judgment. One day, we will all stand face to face with Jesus. And we will give an account. All your works will be exposed as you stand before Jesus in judgment. If you have been hiding sins, thinking that no one sees but God sees, on that day, they will be exposed. Nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest. If you've been self-deceived in your faith, if you've been faking your faith, if you're one of the ones that's on the rocks or in the thorns, on that day, Jesus will uncover it. Nothing in secret will not be known and come to the light on that day. But also on the other side, if you have good soil and you're bearing good fruit, truly hearing and bearing, Jesus is going to expose and uncover that too. All of it will be known in the bright shining of his light. Now, Jesus says, and I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. Jesus says, now is the time to take care of your hearing. Now. Not for that day when it will be exposed. Jesus is warning you graciously today, now, to think about your hearing. The one who has, he says, well, the one who has what? Verse 18. Well, the one who has true spiritual fruit, the one who has true lasting faith, that one is actually going to be given more fruit. Do you see that there in verse 18? For to the one who has, more will be given. This is where I think the 100-fold comes from in chapter 8, verse 8. There's a spiritual bounty that comes to those who follow Jesus and know him on that day. That one will be given more fruit, eternal. So it won't just be things that we have done for Christ on the earth and the fruit that he's borne in our life, but it'll be an overwhelming amount of eternal spiritual bounty that comes from the Lord Jesus. The one who has not, he says in verse 18, do you see that there? Has not what? Well, this person doesn't have true spiritual fruit. This person has no lasting faith. That one will have what he has taken away. And the warning here, I think, clearly is just an eternity apart from Jesus. An eternity under God's judgment in hell is the warning that Jesus has given. Now, don't miss this, friends. Don't miss this. Verse 18, it says, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. There are many who are lost that think they have something. They think they have it. They think they have faith. They think they have fruit, but it's not real. There's a deception going on, and even what they think they have will be taken away on that day. Jesus is warning us lovingly, kindly. They will find out on that day that they never, ever really put Jesus first. They never really held fast to his word. They thought they may have had it, but they didn't. It's important for us to pause here and say this. Jesus doesn't want you walking around in terror all the time. A lot of times people will read passages like this and think that Jesus always wants you to think that you're only halfway saved. Or he wants you always anxious that your fruit in your life is all fake, and that you have been tricked all these years only to find out in the end. Jesus wants you, I think this is so important, Jesus wants you to rest in his gracious work, to trust in him, to draw near to him, not looking to yourself, but resting in his loving arms, drawing close to him every day, yearning to know him more and to be filled with his assurance. And yet at the same time, don't be flippant about your walk with Jesus. Don't just presume or assume. Don't just expect that everything's fine. Take time to be honest with yourself. Ask God to search you and examine you. Psalm 139, the psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and point me in the way everlasting." The Bible teaches you to search and examine. Ask a trusted Christian friend, a brother or sister, someone that you know loves you and loves Jesus, to examine you. Help me see. Do you see God's work in my life? So don't be in terror and anxiety, not trusting Jesus, but at the same time, don't be flippant. What should we do? Ask God to show you your fruit, and he will. Ask God to show you your faith. Plead with God for assurance that you will always see the work that he's doing in your life. And in my experience, he will do it. He wants you to trust in him. He wants you to know. So draw near to Christ. True spiritual fruit always begins on the inside, and it works its way out. And sometimes true fruit can be hidden, and it can be hard to see. I've seen that in the lives of people. I've seen it in my own life. God is working in there, but it's hidden. You don't see it clearly at first. But eventually it shows itself and becomes easier to see down the road. And you don't want to fake your fruit like the Pharisees. Think about how Jesus has talked to them. Their outside is all they got. There's nothing going on the inside. On the inside, it's fake and empty. The most contaminating sins are those inside sins. And so think about what Jesus is doing inside and how he's working it out in your life. You want to have good hearing. Now's the time to check it. And we want to have good hearing because true spiritual hearing brings a blessing. True spiritual hearing brings a blessing. And that's the last thing Jesus says. Jesus says, remember the hearing blessings. Remember the hearing blessings. Look at verses 19 to 21 with me. Verse 19, it says, "Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you.' But he answered them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who,'" you see that, "'hear the word of God and do it.'" Now there's a lot that we could say about this interaction between Jesus and his mother and his brothers that we don't have time for today. I think Jesus is teaching us how to handle the cares of life. We're seeing in Jesus' life what it looks like to handle the thorns, to fight against the thorns of life. Jesus' mother and his brothers are a care of his life. It's a care of life. He's tempted to put them and their cares and wants above his heavenly Father. He says, "Hey, your mama wants to talk to you. Well, I better go talk to mama." There's a challenge there to put that desire, her desire, their desires, in the midst of what he's doing. They come up and say, "Jesus, I know you're in the middle of something right now. I know you're teaching, but your mama wants you." And he has to sit here and make a decision in this moment. Everyone expected him to stop and go see what mama wanted. That's what they would have done. "Mama wants you. Okay, y'all give me a second. I'm going to go talk to her." But Jesus takes the opportunity to put everything in the right order. Do you see this? And he shows us to do the same thing. It was shocking to them. And it's shocking to us also. That's why when we read verses like this, we're like, "What? Does Jesus love his mom? I thought Jesus loved his mom," you know. But Jesus, of course, did love his mom. But Jesus is showing us how to live. One of the last things that Jesus did when he was dying on the cross was to make sure that his mother Mary was cared for by John. But you see what he's saying here. His true family, his true and real family, are those who hear God. and follow him. Those who bear fruit because he is consuming their lives. Our true family is just the same. It is our Heavenly Father. Jesus the Son is our elder brother and our Lord. We are brothers and sisters of Christ together, sharing life together. The cares and the riches and the pleasures of life take second place, and Jesus always helps us to put those things in the right order. But he has a moment here to follow a care of life or to keep doing what the Lord wants him to do and to proclaim what the Father has said. Don't miss the point, though. Do you see the word hearing? Word hearing in verse 21? Those who hear the word of God and do it, that do it is the fruit. Those who hear the word of God and bear fruit, they are part of Jesus' family, his real family, his forever family. Don't you want that? Don't you want to be a part of that family? Don't you want to be a part of Jesus' eternal community, his real family? Jesus is inviting you into it. And now is the time to take care of your hearing. So again, I want you to think about it right now. Right now is the time to think about this. Check your soil. Check your seeds. Check your hearing and your doing. Be honest with yourself and God about your fruit and the faith that's in between. Just like your physical hearing, if your spiritual hearing is off, you won't know what's really going on. You'll miss stuff. You won't hear the things that you ought, and you won't respond as you should, and you'll miss Jesus. There was an old hymn by Fanny Crosby that we used to sing when I was a kid. It goes like this: Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? I really like the last verse. It goes, Jesus is pleading, oh, list to his voice. Hear him today, hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and away, calling today. Calling today, Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Don't you hear it? Don't you hear it? Let's pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I truly want you to take this moment now. Do a spiritual hearing check. How's your hearing? How's your soil? Ask God to help you. Maybe today you realize that you are not a Christian, or maybe you're just not sure. We would love to talk with you more about Jesus and the gospel. I want you to know the Lord. We want you to know the Lord. We have a couple of easy ways that you can respond. You can actually take your phone out right now and text the word Jesus to the number that's on the screen. And I would encourage you to do this right this second if you want to talk with someone more about the gospel. Text Jesus to 833-602-8204. Someone will follow up with you later. Also, we're going to sing one more song. And during the song, Pastor Matt's going to be out before you. He's going to be standing by the big map of the world out there. You can't miss him.